Let's pray and we'll ask the Lord to guide us as we look at his word. Our Father, thank you for your great word and thank you for that song we sang. We thank you for your very precious Holy Spirit who has been given to everyone who loves your Son Jesus. And we thank you that he is called the author and or the Spirit of truth. And we thank you for how he's the one who leads us into all truth. And if there's anything we've understood from your word, it's because of not teachers about us and pastors and preachers and books. It's actually your Holy Spirit who allows us to understand. And we are really, really grateful for his work in our life. And today, Lord, as we look at this Daniel, we ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and give us understanding. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in March 2019, and I've shared this a few times, Colin and I had the privilege to go to Israel. And one of the things that we did when we went to Israel was to go to a place called Qumran, which is in the northwestern area of the Dead Sea, a pretty barren sort of place. And this is where we went, is an archaeological site now, where they have discovered this ancient village, and we got the joy to see it. And of course, Qumran is also famous because in 1947 something was found. There was a shepherd boy who had lost his sheep, and he's up in the hills of Qumran, and he threw a stone into a cave, but instead of hearing bleating sheep, he heard broken pottery. And so he went in there and he discovered the first part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. How amazing is that? I've got a few photos to show you, just four. Got to cut it right down. That's looking from Qumran towards the hills. The Dead Sea is behind. And up there are caves. 11 caves, actually, they found all these scrolls. Thanks, Mitch. Next one. They are the sort of things that they found the scrolls in. Pottery. And there is a scroll. Look at that. And the last one, there's the settlement that's been unearthed. And you can also see the Dead Sea right in the distance. Thank you. All right. It's a nice place to visit. Now, over 900 manuscripts were discovered over many years, starting in 1947 in 11 caves. And what's amazing is a lot of things were discovered, but all the Old Testament books, parts of those books, except for the book of Esther, were found. How amazing is that? All right, so these are copies of the original manuscripts. And they were pretty bad because they're over 2,000 years old when they found them. And but one book in the Old Testament was found complete. It was the book of Isaiah, the whole thing. Incredible. One book preserved by God. Let me tell you a little bit about the story. Before 1947, for a number of decades, there was such a real growing group of people, scholars and skeptics, who wanted to really attack the book of Isaiah. I know we're not in Daniel yet, but I want to talk about prophecy. And they really wanted the world to believe that the book of Isaiah is actually like this. Chapters 1 to 39 were written by the actual prophet Isaiah in 700 BC, but the chapters 40 to 66 are forgery. They were written by a person wanting to write after Jesus had come into the world and to write prophecy to fake it, to try and prove that Jesus is the Messiah. And, you know, we found them out because how can you have in chapters 40 to 66 such accurate prophecy concerning John the Baptist in Isaiah 40 and Jesus being pierced? Crucifixion didn't even exist in Isaiah's time, so it's got to be a forgery. And so this thinking became so powerful and strong. And so what God does, he intervenes. And a shepherd boy finds the book of Isaiah complete. Chapters 1 to 66. Written at least the first century BC, not the first century AD. That's a huge wow, isn't it? Praise God that he did that so that we know that the prophecy of Isaiah is from God and accurately tells us about the coming of Jesus into our world. And I want to just say, I love prophecy as I get more and more into it. Prophecy affirms to me the existence of God. It affirms to me that his word is true. And of course, it affirms to us that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. How good is that? So God is always doing this, keeps shaking us and reminding us of his truth. And I mentioned that because this morning we're going to look into Daniel chapter 9. And we've looked at Daniel's prayer, and we're going to look at this magnificent, this extraordinary prophecy concerning Jesus. It's extraordinary, this prophecy, as you'll find. And so let's get into it. We're going to look specifically starting from Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. But I want to give you the background to this prophecy. Remember last week, what were we looking at? Daniel's prayer. What a prayer it is. One of the great prayers in the Bible. You ought to take time to read it yourself and learn how to pray well to God. Do you remember what caused him to pray? He had been reading the scriptures. And he knew. He had comprehended in God's words from the prophet Jeremiah, because God's word can never be broken, that the exile of the Jewish people in Babylon would be for how long? 70 years. And something had happened when Daniel prayed this prayer. There had been a change. The Babylonian Empire, the mighty Babylonian Empire, came tumbling down. And Darius the Mede took on power. And Daniel knew about Jeremiah. And he's praying to God thinking, this is it. This has got to be the time when the exile will end. 70 years is almost up. And so with all this understanding, he prayed. We read the prayer last week. He confessed the sins of himself and his people. He called on the compassion of God, and he was so concerned for the name of the Lord. What a prayer. I've got to read to you the last two verses of the prayer. Daniel chapter 9, 18 and 19. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. Praise the Lord for a prayer like that. See the name you're coming up a lot? God's name. It's all about God's name. And that's what Daniel was so conscious of. So anyway, we've got this great prayer. And now I'm going to move into the next part. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. So it says here, now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel. Look at that, confessing my sin. Daniel, I thought he was like a perfect man. No such thing. Not even Daniel. He's confessing his own sin and the sin of his people. And it said, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God on behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. Wow, Gabriel. So it tells us here that Daniel hasn't even finished praying when this man, that is, he looked like a man, this person called Gabriel came while he was praying. And last time he saw Gabriel was in a vision. This time he is seeing Gabriel in person. The very Gabriel who in person came to Mary and said to Mary, you're going to have the Son of God, is the same Gabriel who's sent by God to talk to Daniel. Isn't that amazing? Wow, what an incredible thing. And so he comes, and I just love this. I love this beautiful truth. And as I read through this, I'm going to read the next part of it in verses 22 and 23. Why did Gabriel come? Let me tell you why he didn't come. He didn't come to affirm to Daniel, you're right, Daniel, 70 years is almost up. Soon Cyrus, king of Persia, is going to come, and he's going to say, right, Jewish people, go back home. That hadn't happened yet. It's about to happen. But Gabriel is sent to Daniel to tell him even something greater than that. It was to do with the coming of Jesus. The first coming of Christ. And we're going to see that. Let's have a look at verses 22 and 23. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. All right. And it's going to be about Jesus. Now, before I get into the prophecy, which is verses 24 to 27, I want to highlight to you two wonderful things in that section that I've just read from verses 20 to 23. The first thing is, I always thought for a long time, and you often probably think this too, that prayer is communication, one way to God. It's our chance to talk to God about things in life, to share our heart. But the reality is, true prayer is two-way communication, where we talk to God, and mysteriously, you could say, God speaks to us. It is while Daniel is praying, he hasn't even finished yet, when God reveals to Daniel through Gabriel some pretty amazing things. Have you experienced that? I have. There's times when I want to keep on praying, but I've got to stop and I've got to write some things down. Because God has just spoken to me about maybe a decision in life, about a sermon I'm doing, and it's actually in the prayer when it happens. It's really wonderful. It's so lovely to be excited about prayer. As you talk to God, to expect God to speak to you. This is how it is. How real God is. And the other thing I want to mention about prayer is that I read how Daniel is blessed with this great understanding of what's to come. And he's called something. He says in verse 23, I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. And I want to just highlight that to you. Daniel is highly esteemed. And we might say, yeah, of course he's highly esteemed. I mean, he's the guy who's praying, even under the threat of death. And in the lion's den, God rescues him. But I want you to know that if you're in Christ, you're highly esteemed too. Come on. I know we talk about, like our song last week, that we're wretches, but now we're treasures. Do you get that? You are a treasure. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That's who you are in Christ. You're highly esteemed. And you need to remember that when you pray. You need to get away from all those negative thoughts. I'm no good. Why would God listen to me? Whoa, whoa, whoa. All that sort of stuff. And you need to remember, saved in Christ, a child of God, you're highly esteemed. Value your status because of Jesus. And pray properly. What do you reckon? I said, amen, Bob. That's right. We've got to get into prayer. And attitudes need to change. So here's two big things that I learned from here. When you pray, expect God to speak to you. And when you pray, remember God will hear you because in Christ, not because of yourself, in Christ, you are highly esteemed. Right, now we're going to get into the prophecy. I feel like I'm halfway through the sermon and I'm just getting into now the really amazing prophecy. But here we go. Bit of a big intro this morning. So we're going to read verses 24 and 25. And it says 70 weeks, or some translations, 77s have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to make an atonement of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. I want to say to you all, how extraordinary is this prophecy? And the Holy Spirit wants us to understand what's been said. This prophecy is about the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, in verse 25, I'm excited to read the title, Messiah Prince. Who is the Messiah Prince? The Messiah is the Hebrew word for Christ. And Prince is also connected to the word Lord. That's Christ the Lord. That's who's being spoken of here. Christ the Lord. And when I read about verse 24, I am reading things that I know with all my heart, because I live after the coming of Christ, first coming, I know that those words are about the cross of Christ, about his first coming. and how he came into our world to die for us. So how do I know that? Well, consider. It says in verse 24, I'll start off at the beginning, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city. So talking to the Jewish people, 70 weeks have been decreed for the Jewish people and for the city of Jerusalem. And it says to make an end of sin and to make atonement for iniquity. Well, I've missed something. To finish transgression, to make an end of sin and to make atonement for iniquity. When it says there to finish transgression and to make an end of sin, it means God has not dealt with our sins yet up to this point in time. That won't happen until the cross. Sins had been left unpunished. And that comes out in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, after speaking about how we are saved by God's grace through Christ, it says, it talks about Jesus publicly, or let me read out 24 and 25. We are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. So God was actually overlooking our sins, not dealing with it. So this was going to come to an end, leaving sins unpunished. Something was going to finish. There was going to come an end to this time, and there would be made atonement would be made for iniquity. That is to say, even all those Old Testament sacrifices, they actually never took away man's sin. But there would come a time when atonement would truly be made for human sin. And we all should know that is when Christ died. In Hebrews 10 verse 4 it says, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So there was going to come a time when Jesus would come to make atonement for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's exactly what Romans 3 talks about. Let me read Romans 3, 21 and 22. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. In Christ we receive the gift of righteousness. It's a gift given to you for all eternity. This is, indeed, as it says there, this is everlasting righteousness. Jesus' death puts you right forever. Those words in verse 24 can only be understood when you consider the cross. Gabriel has shared with Daniel such awesome things. What do you reckon? Here it is. And everything is right here. It even talks about, at the end of verse 24, to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. So Jesus came into our world, and there's two parts to this. He fulfilled all prophecy about him. So he sealed it up. It's completed. But also, when Jesus came into our world, he and his holy special apostles finished prophecy. There is no more word to come. They have sealed up prophecy and revelation. That means if you're here today, and it's very common these days, oh, I've got a new word from the Lord, a new revelation, it's rubbish. Jesus and his apostles sealed it. That's what Daniel gets told by the angel Gabriel. And it even says, and he came to anoint the most holy place. And we might think of the temple, but Jesus came to anoint the most holy place called Jerusalem. And on a hill in Jerusalem called Golgotha, his precious blood fell upon that ground and anointed that place that brings about salvation to all people who trust in him. Every word is fulfilled here in verse 24. How can this be? Well, Gabriel hangs out with God, right? And all the counsel of God he gets to hear. And he comes to share with Daniel, a man highly esteemed, such awesome things. This is an exquisite prophecy. And this is given so that we might know that God knows all things. God knows all things. He knows the plan A. And we have it here, written so well into the past before it happens. All right. Now, in verse 25, I'm going to read something about that. I'm going to read that again. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. So Jerusalem would be rebuilt. It had been completely destroyed, and that happened. Jerusalem was rebuilt. But what's so exciting here in verse 25 is that Daniel gets to find out when the Messiah Prince is going to come. We have to, in my translation, it's got the word years. I have to change that to, or not years, weeks. Week stands for 7 years. So seven, it says 7 and 62 weeks. 7 and 62 weeks is 69 weeks. Times 7 is 483 years. Right, I don't know if you know this, 483 years. In the time of Artaxerxes, in the 20th year of his reign, around about 450 BC, he said to a man called Nehemiah, Nehemiah, I want you to go, I give you permission, I want you to go, I want you to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the city of Jerusalem. When was that again? 450 BC. Jesus died on a cross around about 32, 33 AD. We're not quite sure. 450, 33, 483 years. 483 years. That's exactly what's recorded in the Bible. Every Jew should have known when Jesus was going to die on the cross for us. Every Jew. It shouldn't have just been the people from Persia called the wise men who knew about these things. Every Jew who had it in their scriptures should have known when Jesus would make atonement for his people. What do you think of that? That's why this is an extraordinary prophecy. I love these things, because if you have any doubts about the word of God, the reality of God, his word is truth about who Jesus is, you can't get around this. There's no way to get around it. This is just amazing. May your faith be strong in Jesus. This is amen. This is true. And God affirms it to us again and again through prophecy. All right, so now I'm going to read the last two verses. And the last two verses can be a little bit confusing. But I'll read them first and then I'm going to explain how we can understand it. It says in verses 26 and 27, then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. That is, he died. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Even though it was built, it will be destroyed. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Okay, when I read something like that, I go, oh, wow, well, I don't know if I can make sense of that. And I always think, is there anything in the New Testament that will help me to understand these words? And praise be to God, there is. It actually comes from the lips of Jesus himself. How about that? In Matthew chapter 24. Because in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem. They looked at the temple. They saw these beautiful big stones. And Jesus talks to them about how it will all be destroyed. And they ask him, when? When will this be? And Jesus is speaking about his second coming as well as the destruction of Jerusalem. So in that section, when he's speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem, Jesus says these words, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken by the prophet Daniel, wow, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So Jesus tells us what Daniel 9, 26 and 27 are about. It's about the destruction of Jerusalem. When did that happen? 70 AD. And there was this 70th week, 7 year period when some amazing things happened, or sad things really. And what happened was the Romans, they wanted to really bring the Jewish people under suppression. And they were trying various schemes, trying to win their hearts, but they just got nowhere, and they thought, that's it, we're going to desecrate their temple. Abomination of desolation. So they desecrated the temple, they made it unholy. And then, and that was in the middle period of those 7 years, 3.5 years. And then on, in the seventh year of this time, they ended up saying, that's it, we're going to destroy Jerusalem. And the Roman Empire came around Jerusalem and they completely destroyed it, leveling it to the ground. Over 1 million Jews were slaughtered and killed. Horrible, isn't it? Jesus speaks about this, so does Daniel. What do you think of all these things? The fulfillment of prophecy. And why does God do this? Why does God share all these things with us? One thing I want to say to you is because he wants to prepare us. He wants to prepare us about what's to come. He wanted to prepare his people in the days of 70 AD to flee from Jerusalem because of what's going to happen. He prepares our hearts. He prepared the Jewish people for the coming of Christ into the world the first time. He prepared his people for the destruction of Jerusalem. God loves to tell us because he loves us and wants to prepare our hearts. But besides, our prophecy is just brilliant. You've got to get into prophecy. You really do. This book is awesome. That's not it. I can't. That's just, it's bigger than awesome. This is incredible. You should allow yourself, if you're not a Christian yet, to read this book and understand that it is absolutely true. God is real. The Bible is the truth. And Jesus is the Christ, Amen. The Son of the living God. And prophecy will again and again confirm that. I'm going to finish by saying to you all that as I read this, I know a lot of us might start to think if there are things in here about the second coming of Christ, and there are. There are pictures here about the second coming of Christ. I'm not going to get into that now. But I'm so glad that we are told that Jesus is coming again. We don't know the date, unlike the first coming. See, they could work out the date, but we can't, because Jesus said that to us in Matthew 24:36. But of the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, that means Gabriel, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So we don't know when Jesus will come again. But we do know the season for when he's going to come, because Jesus told us that you'll have signs and there'll be a season. You'll know. And many of us believe pretty close. Pretty close. And why should we know these things? Because God wants to prepare you. Get ready. Be prepared. I'm coming back soon. So the first thing you should do is get right with God. Trust in Jesus. Like Colleen shared, when at 13 invited Jesus into her heart. You need to believe who Christ is and ask Jesus to save you. And if you've done that, get ready. There's going to be fireworks, but it's all okay because we are on the winning side. Hallelujah. We will win through Christ. We will stand in glory one day. And God has given us enough prophecy about the second coming for his people to be settled and ready and prepared. Praise his name. Daniel 9, I love it. If you haven't understood what I've shared with you today, because it can get a little bit tricky, you can always ring me up, email me, talk to me. I'd love to explain to you Daniel chapter 9. It is an awesome prophecy. I don't know how you feel. Like, well, what do you think about these things? 483 years. Isn't that amazing? And those words that are spoken about making atonement for iniquity and bringing in everlasting righteousness, that's what the cross accomplished for us. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing now. I didn't know what song to sing because I can't think of a song that sort of captures all that. But I did think of this great song we love singing, and it's called King of Kings. And King of Kings begins with these words. In the darkness, we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. And listen to this. To fulfill the law and prophets, and to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty. Pray forever to the King of Kings. Let's stand.
darkness we were waiting.
Wonderful Saviour and a wonderful Holy Spirit. And as I just sang that song, I couldn't help but think everything I sing there, which is from the Scriptures, was all prophesied about. The coming of Jesus, reconciliation with God at the cross, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the birth of the church, and the coming again of Christ. All spoken beforehand. What an awesome God we follow. God the Father, who knows all things and who has made it clear to us the right way to Him through Jesus. What an awesome Saviour we have, who fulfilled every word and the ones to come. He is the Lord, the Christ, the King of Kings. I bow myself before Him. He is the Lord. What a wonderful Holy Spirit. I would be absolutely ignorant of all this. We're not for the Spirit of Jesus, who has helped me and you to understand the Word of God. Praise be to the Spirit, who has helped us to understand. Pray that the Lord will touch your hearts today. We've looked at an awesome prophecy. May God speak to us all, and I'm going to pray now. So, Father, I thank you that from the beginning of time, even before you created, you had it all mapped out, what you would do for the people who have hurt you and rebelled against you. And we thank you that over time you made clear again and again incredible prophecies about your love for us and what you would do for us through Jesus. And I thank you for how you made that known. And we, living in the 21st century, can look back and see how everything has been fulfilled in Jesus, the Son, the great Son of yours. And we thank you that he clearly is your Son and our Saviour and Lord. And I thank you for this prophecy we've looked at this morning. I get blown away that you even, 483 years, you even knew exactly that from the decree being issued to rebuild Jerusalem to the death of your Son. Thank you so much, Father, for helping us to see how real you are, how true your word is, and who Jesus is, our Saviour. Lord, I pray that you would awaken us and enliven us and help us to be excited because of who you are. And help us to be about your kingdom, declaring your glory to the world around us. Lord, help us not to be shrinking back. Help us to be absolutely confident and sure that what we've been given and told is true. May you give us Holy Spirit courage to speak your word. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.